precious presence of God. I couldn't stop crying unto the Lord, saying that I am in need of you, Lord. I am in need of you like never before, please. You know, the reason behind that prayer was for the past 2 weeks, the enemy was coming against me in a very powerful way. After a very long, long time, I began to think of how can I leave America and go back. I really don't want to be here. I was thinking it was so strong and so powerful. But how many of you believe enemy is a liar? Amen. He is a liar and father of all lies. And we will stay here until the last minute that God has appointed for us to be here and declare His faithfulness, His declare His goodness. We are not going to run. Especially I am not going to run from this place. Enemy, you are going to be put to shame. And I have to tell enemy, I have to tell the enemy at his face, saying that you have to feel sorry for tormenting me. Because I'm going to make you miserable in the name of Jesus. You know, it should be our, like I encourage you all, you know, it should be our passion. Because the Bible says, greater is He who is within us than one in the world. So every time He comes up with His wicked plan or wicked scheme, that's the time we have to tell Him, you have to feel sorry that you disturbed me. I'm not coming against you, because the one who is living within me is coming against you, because He is more powerful than the one who is trying to touch us. We are apple of His eyes. No enemy's plan can overcome. Job says, no, not even one plan of Him will be withheld. Everything will come to pass as long as we say, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. Okay? And last Sunday, my husband was telling me, next Sunday is Mother's Day, I want you to preach. And I said, okay, this is going to be the first time you are going to sit listening to me. Because whenever He is not here, that's when I used to come and share the word of God. But so, when He told me, I said, yes. So, Mondays usually is our off. He takes off. But whether it is Sunday, Saturday, Monday, day off, vacation, no matter what, my husband has the principle, by the grace of God, wakes up early in the morning and spends time at the presence of the Lord. But this Monday was something very different. He woke up around 6 o'clock. He told me that, can you please take the children? I feel very tired. So I want to rest for a while. It's my day off anyways. Because when Monday gets, you know, the 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock comes, phone call comes. So he said, I want to sleep a little bit. So I dropped the children, came back home. I was amazed, because he's a kind of person, even a small wind can wake him. He is noisy, how do we say it? Yeah, very light sleeper. He cannot sleep even with a little small whisper, you know. It's very hard. For me, just the opposite. No matter what, you scream or yell, I'm going to sleep. So that day when I came back home, I walked into the room and I got something and I was going back and forth in the room. But he was asleep like a stone, like a rock, which never happened, which was like a strange for me. And you know, he was not feeling well last month and he has lost a lot of weight. He was not doing very well, but by God's grace, not even one of his appointments were missed. He, by the grace of God, he's been active, productive, fruitful in the kingdom of God. But when I saw him sleeping, suddenly the fear struck my mind, my emotion, saying that, why he is like that? Suppose if he is not going to be here for me and the children, how I'm going to survive? That's the thought, fearful thought, suddenly struck my mind. And I thought, oh my gosh, how I'm going to live without him, you know? It was a fearful thought, and following that, so many what-ifs began to come in my mind. And within few minutes, I was able to recognize it's the enemy coming against my mind. And that, because I want to testify, when I got delivered, when I got saved, the main demon God delivered me from is the spirit of fear. I was delivered from the spirit of fear. It's the main demon for so many other small little demons. So when he came against me, and I was so vulnerable because things were coming against me, but whenever enemy comes against us like a roaring lion, like a flood, the Lord raises up his banner. And by the grace of God, all through the last 2 weeks, I was down for a minute, and then the next minute I saw his grace sustaining me. And then I was down for a minute, and then he raised me up. It was on and off, on and off. So Monday, that was so strong, I began to, in fact, I called his mother and said, "Your son did not wake up." And she said, "That's very abnormal. Did you check his sugar level? Because his sugar level has been high, and if he would have taken more insulin or something like that, you know, they might pass out in the sleep. So go to the room and then try to wake him." And then I went to him and I wake him up and I said, "It's my day off. Why can't you let me sleep for another 1 hour?" Just imagine how much I was terrified. Now I am laughing and saying, but at that time I was crying, I was panting, I was panicking in fact. Immediately God told me, "This is the message you have to preach." Because that moment in our bedroom, I walked back and forth, and I said, "My husband will live and declare the glory of the Lord. We will live together and proclaim his good name. No weapon formed against him shall prosper. His kidney, his internal organs will function properly, and he will fulfill the number of days that God ordained for him. Enemy, you are a liar. I am not going to believe whatever the report of the doctors. I am not going to believe any of those, but I'm going to believe the report of the Lord, which says by his stripes he is healed." So when I began to say it aloud, he was still asleep on the bed. He did not know what happened, but I proclaimed and declared. Within few minutes, I saw that big breakthrough in my spirit, in my soul, and that I felt it in my body. It was like a wave that transferred from one stage to another. Immediately, I felt such a freedom. That's where God gave me the message. Because I want to tell you this, when enemy messes up, that's where message comes. When you are tested, that's where your testimony births. Correct? So that mess I was on Monday morning around 8:30, 9 o'clock, that brought this message. So that was one of my main thing that God delivered me. So I was thinking of, okay, let me do a quick research. And I did a little research, but during the night time, during the middle of the night, God woke me up and brought so many things that I put together in a form of slideshow, okay? So I'm sure you will be blessed. I want Emmanuel and Irene, my children, to pay attention, because it's a practical way of application. You know, God's word, when you learn it, that's good. But when you put it on action, that's more powerful. So I encourage all of you to do it. And here in the slideshow, you can see fear. False evidence appears real. That's fear. False evidence appears real. Okay, first of all, before going to fear, I want to tell you, the opposite of fear is peace. Jesus is the only source of peace. Okay, don't even think that enemy will give you peace and he will let you enjoy a peace now and then. No, no, no. The true peace comes only from the Lord, the Prince of Peace. So that means fear is from whom? Enemy. Satan is the author of fear. Okay? So do not confuse. Sometimes people take it this way. I am attacked. I am afraid. And God is trying to teach me something. I'm telling you, you would have opened up yourself for something for the enemy to attack you. So fear has come in your life. Never ever God makes people to feel afraid of, fearful, intimidate and bring them to his ways. Never. He brings conviction in a gentle way and he helps us to go through repentance and to enjoy his goodness. Okay? So opposite of fear is peace. And fear is the master spirit used by Satan. So under this main spirit, there are so many other spirits. Spirit of deception, spirit of lies, spirit of lust, spirit of unbelief, spirit of doubt, everything comes. He is the master spirit, okay? Spirit of fear. And in English, in medical term, they call it phobia. And they have found out there are plenty of phobias, different kinds of phobias. Okay, some people are afraid of darkness, dark areas. Some people are afraid to go in a narrow, small passage, closed space. Some people, they are afraid of traveling in higher altitudes. So there are so many different kinds. Some people are afraid to go underwater. So there are so many different kinds of phobias and medically they call it phobia. But we know fear is from Satan. It has nothing to do with the Lord. Every name is a name, but the name of Jesus is above all name. Okay? And I also want to encourage you, I am saved. I am redeemed. I am bought by the precious blood of Jesus, and some of us might be serving the Lord and knowing Him more, but why I am under attack? I am telling you, always enemy comes. Even you rebuke him 100 times or 100,000 times, he is an indecent fellow. He will try to come looking for some openings here and there so that he can enter in. But Holy Spirit is a very gentle person. When you quench him, he will just walk away from you, waiting for you to call him and invite him again. But he's a very indecent guy, comes and knocks at you even if you don't invite him. So you don't get into any guilt feeling that I should have done something wrong. That's why enemy is knocking at my door with the spirit of fear. Okay? He is an indecent guy. So we have to be very indecent towards him, saying, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Don't show mercy. Okay? Do not show mercy. If you let him, he will just try to pass by. He will just come with the form of lightning. Lightning comes and stays how many seconds in the sky? Milliseconds, okay? Like that. So in the he will also come like a lightning for a while and then he will disappear. So you must be okay the next moment. But already, if you fail to rebuke him, recognize his wicked way, if you fail to recognize that fearful thought, that same spirit will come and dwell and linger for a few seconds and then will go. Then if you still fail to recognize that he is coming against you, the enemy is up to you, if you fail to rebuke him, the next few moments later, maybe after a week, after a month, he will come, take a little break in our mind. Okay? They say they were rubbing their back on the seat. he will try to sit for a while in our mind and he will mess us up. Then he will leave, but slowly our mind will be a footstool for him. And we will be under his dominion. he will not be under our dominion. We will be under his dominion. Whatever he says, then it will go. Okay? So I did a research. And this research, it was from a Gallup poll conducted in 2005, reveals the most common fears of teenagers. I have to say, it's not only for teenagers, it's for everybody. In the United States, the top 10 list goes like this. Okay? This is what the poll conducted shows. Okay? Number one fear was terrorist attacks. Number two, spiders. You might think, really? Why spiders? But that's what the poll, they have said in the poll, that spiders, okay? Number three, death. People are afraid of death. And common fears, people are afraid of failure. People are afraid of war. People are afraid of heights. People are afraid of crime and violence. People are afraid of being alone. People are afraid of their future. People are afraid of a nuclear war. And these are the top 10, but the list goes on and on. And some of the fears that I want to mention here are fear of rejection. If you are the only person in your friends group who believes in Jesus, and all the 9 other friends, they don't believe in Jesus, and if you say something which is truthful, even though you know that's the correct thing to do, right thing to do, but if I say I will be rejected from their group, so people, they keep quiet and they want to be one among them, you know, and be a follower, not a leader. So fear of rejection, fear of sickness. Some people are fear of sickness. That was also, I got delivered from fear of sickness, you know. Because when I get sick, I will have hard time breathing. That hard time breathing, it used to bring a lot of fear in me, you know. So fear of sickness, all those. So I was going through the scriptures, how we can attack those. Okay, those commonly mentioned 10 fears that they have mentioned in the poll conducted. Terrorist attacks. Psalms 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, everywhere we have no guarantee. Do you think that people who were in 9/11 in 2000, you know, in World Trade Center, okay, they would have got, they, people who witnessed that will be going through that fear because they have witnessed it. And how to overcome that? Because we have no medicine can help us, because all those medicines, they have side effects. Even those counseling and stuff will not help us. But God's word is very true. It's very powerful. That's the only thing that can help us to overcome the fear, okay, which is the reality. But it's a false evidence appears real. So we have to, if we keep meditating this scripture, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. If we ourselves imagine that we are under the shadow of His almighty wings, nothing can come near us. And Psalms 91, the whole entire psalm is a very powerful psalm. We call it safety of abiding in the presence of God. Okay? I encourage all of you to memorize Psalms 91 and quote, because it has so many other aspects of fear, how we can deal with those. Okay? And the second fear was about spiders. Okay? It's silly, but it was in number two. Okay. Psalm 91:13 says, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, you shall trample underfoot. Okay? That means spider, all those animals. When God created Adam, he gave dominion over those animals that he created for Adam to rule. So these scriptures, it's not only for spiritual side, okay, those demons, we call it cobras and serpents and young lion. demons, but at the same time, even in the natural sense. When I was going through this research, there was a lady in Australia working with a farm, and she was bit by a spider. And immediately, within few minutes, her whole hand turned to be purple. And she began to feel yellow, kind of, she began to throw up. And she remembered the scripture, and she began to say, and also there are a few other scriptures. Before I move there, I want to show you those scriptures too. Okay, Mark 16:18. This is what she proclaimed over that. They will pick up serpents and they drink anything deadly. It will in no way harm them. Okay, she was proclaiming the scriptures. Luke 10:19. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. When she kept, you know, saying that with her own mouth, she began to saw that swelling coming down and the poison left, and she did not die. And it was also testimony of so many missionaries who walked through the, forest, went through those places where wild animals they live, but they all quoted those scriptures and they were all protected. Okay? Death. Spirit of death is very powerful. Because people, it's a reality. But the thing is, what scripture says about death? My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. When our lives are in the Lord, we will never be shaken. Okay? Death cannot destroy us. Death cannot take us away from the hands of the Lord. Okay? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:52. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? 1 Corinthians 15, 54-55. Jesus has overcome death. And when we die, we are going to be with Him the very next moment. That's why He said, do not renounce my name. Don't be ashamed to proclaim. For the people who will try to destroy your outer body, it's just a tent. They might seek you to destroy your outer tent, but they can do nothing with your soul because that belongs to me and me alone. And when we die, we are going to be with Him forever. No more tears, no more pain, no more fear. So do not be afraid of death because we are in Him. We know Him. So after death, immediately we will be with Him forever. So do not fear death. The next fear. Oh, okay. Two more scriptures with death. These are powerful scriptures. I don't want to miss it. Even when I walk through the valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Psalms 23:4. David was saying this when he was haunted by so many enemies, and he was comforting himself. A lot of times we will find ourselves in our own personal room. Even we might be living with the family, but many people who are around us cannot understand what is going within our mind, how enemy is battling with our mind, and how we feel that we are defeated, we are put down, we are trampled underfoot. But remember this, though we might walk through the valley of shadow of death, fear no evil. As for me, God will redeem my life. He will snatch me from the power of death. And our hair is numbered and nothing will fall out of its place without God's permission. So do not give room for fear. Fear of death, okay? Not even one hair will come out without His permission. That means how much more our life is for the Lord. Without His permission, nobody can touch us. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. Isaiah 25:8. Let's move on to the next slide. Failure. This is very powerful fear that people get because God created each and every one of us for a unique plan, for a unique purpose that only you and I can accomplish. By bringing this fear of failure, people will never step out. That was also one of my main, fear, because fear of, the real fear is there, and then it has so many other small little demons. This fear of failure is very powerful that will cripple you from moving forward in the kingdom of God to accomplish what God has designed you to do. So when enemy comes and tells you, oh, you are going to be a failure, don't even try it. How many of you have heard those voices when you try to do something for the Lord, when you try to do something that will glorify Him? Yes. You know, He will bring you thoughts saying that it's not going to work. Don't even try this because they are going to mock at you, or it's not going to be successful. So do not give room for the fear of failure. So the counterattack scriptures for the fear of failure is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. And Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Sometimes people, they try and they fail and they will never try to attempt again. That time, this is the scripture, this is the medicine that you have to meditate, memorize and say it. All things work together for good. I might have failed this time. I do not know. I did it with a good intention, but my God, He is in control. Whatever it whatever happens, happened. Okay? I am not going to give room for fear, but I am still going to try and move forward because all things work together for good. I might not understand the plan right now, but eventually I will. That should be your confession. Okay? Let's move on to the next. War, nuclear war. Just imagine, we are just seeing it in the slide, war and nuclear war. But for people in North Korea, South Korea, Syria, people living in the Middle East, it's their reality. They are living with this fear, war and nuclear war. You know, body parts everywhere, you know, because of the bombs and, you know, all those civil war. Everything that's happening, that's tearing their lives apart, that's tearing their future apart. How can somebody live, survive and go through that? Let's go to the scripture. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. Psalms 91:5. Okay, before that, I want to say one more thing to this. Derek Prince and Lydia Prince, they lived in Jerusalem while Israel was established, and they had it's a book called Appointment in Jerusalem. It is a very, very interesting, you know, informative, encouraging book that I have ever read, because they saw bullets coming, going through their side, hitting the wall, but not affecting one of them who were living with them at that time. He had eight adopted daughters, and Derek Prince and his wife Lydia Prince, and many bullets went passing by their, you know, foot, leg side. Nothing affected them. They lived, they survived. Just imagine, the nation that was not there for 2000 years, but now it's going to be established. How much war and bitterness and resentment, hatred Israel would have gone through that time. So God protected them. So when we are at the right place at the right time, nothing can come near us. Okay? They were quoting the scripture that time. And that was their only survival kit they had, and the blood of Jesus. Okay? Heights. So many people are afraid of heights. But the word of God says in Habakkuk, even in Psalm 18, okay, in Samuel, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. When God takes you to go to a mission trip where you have to travel through a flight, don't be afraid, because He has called you. He will enable you. You will not die. When your office is going to be in the 110th floor, every time you have to take elevator, and when you see from there, everybody looks like ants, you know, tiny insects. Don't be afraid. People who are afraid, they go through those stuff. But you have to understand, our Lord will make our feet like hinds' feet. An interesting thing that I want to tell you, those hinds who live in the mountainous place, they have special feet that they can climb up over those small places that will take them from one height to another height. And God designed those mountain hinds in such a way, those feet are ready to climb up high. When God is going to take you, it's not only I'm talking about natural height. Some people are afraid to go even higher level because they have to go through criticism, lot of responsibility. Okay? Higher level comes with higher price, higher commitment. They'll be very comfortable with the comfort zone being in a smaller level. But when God is pushing them to higher heights in the spiritual and in the natural, you have to quote this. My God will make me to walk upon high places. My feet will be like hinds' place. In the name of Jesus. Okay? Let's go and move on to the next. Crime and violence. This is the scripture from Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Everywhere, you know, gun shooting, violence, through knives, it's not just guns, so many weapons. So crime and violence can happen in any form. But our protection is, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Okay? Keep that scripture and quote that scripture whenever you go through. Even in the school situation, there will be a lot of sometimes violence. Many things happens around our, when you switch on the TV, all of a sudden they hear, okay, bomb threats, the children scattered, and then the school is shut off, police people come, dogs come, look for bombs and all those stuff. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Do not give room for fear, crime and violence. Being alone, we can also say it as fear of loneliness. It is the Lord who goes before you. This is the promise. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. It's from Deuteronomy 31:8. And also we have scriptures. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And even your father and mother may forsake you, forget you. But I will be with you. And I'll be with you to the ends of the earth, till the end, until the very end, I'll be with you. He will never leave us. Okay, don't be afraid of being lonely. Sometimes God takes us through the path of loneliness, but that is the time we can get closer to Him and know Him more and more and more, more closer than ever before. So don't be afraid of being lonely. He is with you. He will never leave you no matter what. Okay? When the enemy comes and tells you, you are alone. Nobody likes you. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares for you. You are lonely. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of suicides happens during the Thanksgiving, Christmas, because people, they feel they are lonely. They are not cared. Nobody is there to care for them, and they are not cared for any reason by their family. So let's not give room for those. Now also this fear about future, uncertainty. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And Philippians 4:18 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Okay? This should be our mantra. In Indian term, they say mantra. Okay? My God has plan and future. Okay. Now, I want to tell you few practical tips that God helped me in my process of, process of deliverance. These are the do's and don'ts God taught me to walk in that victory during the time of fear and attack. Do not run to people without seeking God first. I'm not, undermining the help of other people, servants of the Lord. It's all very important. But our eyes should look up to Him and seek His help first. And when He leads you, when He guides you, and when He takes you to people, go through that. For me, it happened because when I went through the process of healing and deliverance, I always run to him, my husband, and say, "I am under attack, please help me pray." And then he will used to pray for me. Immediately, I will feel the peace. But one day, he was at the office. It happened in 2002. And I ran to the phone to call him for help. And God immediately said, "He is just a man. And I am the Almighty God here with you. Why can't you kneel down and pray and ask me?" Immediately I knelt wherever the phone was and I began to say, "Lord, I need help from this torment." Within few seconds, the presence of God surrounded me and brought freedom in me. Okay, my eyes was not on him first. That's what I'm trying to say. So he taught me to run to him first. Okay? Number two, don't give shape to your fearful thoughts through your words. That's the main thing, because we will begin to give shape by saying that this is what I did, this is what that. Don't give shape. Number three, don't figure out by asking what ifs. You know, sometimes healing, deliverance is a process. Okay, but if we want to get all the answers by asking God, what if? Just like a small baby, take a baby step of faith, receiving that freedom, you know, that healing and deliverance, and walk in it and you will see it, okay? What ifs? All those what ifs will bring more doubts. Okay, do's, few do's. Take every thought captive. Immediately recognize your thought. What is the source? If it is not from God, take the thought captive. Never let the fearful thought dwell and take root in your heart. That's what we talked about earlier. Put on the helmet of salvation. The fear comes and attacks our mind. Then it goes into our being. But before it gets deeper, take control of that by putting on the helmet of salvation. Rebuke the spirit of fear. Pray in tongues. If God has given you the spirit to pray in tongues, okay, baptism in the Holy Spirit, begin to pray in tongues, because the Spirit of God will pray in you and through you exactly what spirit is trying to come against you, and you will see that victory immediately. Amen. And it is our responsibility to rebuke the spirit of fear, because as we surrender, it is our responsibility to rebuke the spirit of fear and he will flee. Okay. Confess and declare the word of God. That's our offensive weapon. So we have to use the word of God. Begin to praise God and thank him. Okay? That's the best thing to say. When we begin to see God, because God would have delivered each and every one of us from so many situations, so many hardships. When we begin to thank him and put word and put him greater than the fear that is coming against us, we are magnifying him, his greatness, and we are belittling the power of darkness that's trying to come against us. And we say, "You are just a small piece, but my God is great." Okay? Okay. This scripture, please memorize this scripture, okay? 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Okay? Sometimes when we go through that fear, those moments are the weakest moments in our life, where we will take our eyes off of that perfect love of Jesus Christ. We put our eyes and focus on the enemy and the kingdom of darkness and how mean, how wicked and how strong he might look like in our thoughts. But that's the time. Please take a deep breath. Quote the scripture, 1 John 4:18, saying that, Lord, I want to feel your love one more time. Help me to meditate on your love, because there is no fear in your love. When we begin to meditate on him, his love, it will disappear like the dew that saw the sun rays, okay, sunlight. It will disappear. For all these, the bottom line is, okay, confessing the word, meditating on the word is Jesus. We need to know who Jesus is. Without him, without knowing him, how you will go and look for the scriptures, how you will quote, okay, those scriptures belongs to his children. Emmanuel and Irene, they exactly know the key for our home, go which room has what are the things and where to get access to those things that they need. We all need to know that we are his children. We are bought by his precious blood. We have to make sure our salvation, you know, that we are walking in that love. We are walking in that righteousness. We are clothed with his blood. We need to know every single day. It should not be one time that happened some few years ago. Every day, walk in that, in the realization of our salvation, power in that salvation, knowing the deliverance that comes through that salvation. We are redeemed once for all. We are redeemed once for all. No matter how dark our situation looks like, we are redeemed from the hands of the enemy. We belong to him. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's all stand up. And if in our heart, tonight, if we do not have Jesus in the right place, because having him in our heart is the key to victory, key to deliverance, key to freedom, key to breakthroughs, key to blessing. Keeping the Savior in one corner of our life is not enough. He needs to be Savior of our thoughts. He needs to be Savior of our finance. He needs to be Savior of our emotions. He needs to be our Savior of our family, our relationship, our job, our studies, our work. He wants to be Savior of each and every aspect of our life. Knowingly or unknowingly, if we would have left him in one corner saying that, I experience you as a Savior in my healing, Lord, but not in my finance. I experience you in my finance as my Savior, Lord, but not in my emotions. If you are there, if you are that one, tonight, God is expecting you to open up your minds, your hearts, your emotions, your finance, your relationship to him, that he can come and dwell forever and ever and ever. Be the King and Savior when he is totally occupied, when that perfect love occupies our entire being. There is no room for fear in any form. There is no room for torment. There is no room for sickness. There is no room for doubt and unbelief. There is no room for lack, that we will walk in that fullness. We will walk in that fullness. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, mighty King. We need you, Lord. We need you like never before. Yes, Lord, come and take up your throne, the rightful place that belongs to you, Lord. Show us the grace. Give us the grace and mercy, O Master, that we will seek you diligently. Yes, Lord, as we study you, it's not that you wanted us, but you wanted us to do it because you wanted us to be in good shape. Do not think that if you read Bible, if you go to church, if you do something for the Lord, that something is going to be added to him. He has everything together. But when God is asking us to do something, he is asking us to do it for our own sake. Never forget that. Meditate on his words. Confess that. When the enemy tries to put zip in your mouth, not to thank him and praise him, tell him, give me the grace, Lord. Cry unto him. Give me the grace that I will open up my heart and I will cry unto you, Lord. Because when we cry unto you, that's where our deliverance, because the enemy will know, oh, this person is crying unto the Lord and he is coming. I cannot have access to his life anymore. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for the moments that we fail to recognize your awesomeness, your faithfulness, your greatness. Yes, Lord. Because you are mighty to save us. You are mighty to save us, Lord. We give you honor and glory. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.